Panera now delivers, so you can order good, clean food right to your office or door or porch or backyard or front yard or apartment or dorm or castle or shop or worksite or wherever. For lunch, dinner, and everywhere in between. Click the banner to order or visit PaneraBread.com. Participating locations only. Panera. Food as it should be.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. I'm your host, Terrence Zepke. I'm ready, as always, to talk travel, so let's get started. I'm excited. My guest today, I have a great guest. His name is Greg Geronimus. He is the co-CEO of Smart Tours. So welcome to the show, Greg.
It's a pleasure being on the show, and Terrence, thanks so much for having me.
All right. Okay, I want to mention a couple things there before we get into our show topic. First, as my listeners know, I only book companies that are highly reputable, companies I would travel with myself. And in fact, I have taken several trips with Smart Tours, including their Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji tour, which was a great trip. It was just wonderful. So anyway, also I wanted to mention here that Smart Tours is celebrating 20 years in business and 150,000 travelers this year. So this is a pretty great milestone, right, Greg?
We're very proud, it's just a thrill to be able to provide high quality and affordable, accessible travel to so many people, and we're actually not far from 200,000 travelers now, so that we're even more excited about.
Wow, that is great. Okay, so let's talk about your trip here that I want to get into today. It's called Enchanted Peru. This is just an amazing adventure, so let's break down this itinerary here. You arrive in Lima, Peru, and then you fly on to Cusco. And I want to stop right there and just talk a minute to everybody about altitude sickness, because Cusco is more than 11,000 feet above sea level, and any place that's more than 10,000 feet, altitude sickness is a potential problem. And Machu Picchu is, of course, even higher than that. So I've seen firsthand the effects of altitude sickness on this particular trip and other trips in other mountainous regions as well. So what I want to talk to Greg about here is when we first arrived in Cusco, we were offered coca leaves, and there was four of us, and two of us accepted the coca leaves, and two of us were kind of leery about this. These people just handed that, so they didn't do it. And I'm going to tell you, the two of us that chewed on the coca leaves had no problem, and the two of us that didn't had a bad bout of altitude sickness. And I know in other places I have consumed coca tea instead of chewing on coca leaves and all. So do you have any advice on this topic you want to share with our listeners, Greg?
You know, altitude sickness is real, as you're alluding to, and we do provide, try to encourage our local guides to provide resources, often, locally grown, locally developed resources to help combat it. But we also understand that people need to do what they're comfortable with. So we're not going to pressure anyone into taking anything that they don't want to. But we're glad that at least some of you obliged and that it helped avoid altitude sickness. But it's really, we try to provide the resources that are available to make it the best possible travel experience. But ultimately, it's each individual traveler's personal decision as to what they're comfortable doing.
All right, so I've planted the seed here so people know about this. If they weren't aware and they're thinking about doing this trip, maybe just talk to their doctor. Because when I talked to my doctor, she recommended the coca tea. In fact, she had some. She told me to come back by there, and she would leave it for me at the desk. So that's how I first learned about the coca tea, So, again, like you said, do what you're comfortable with, but be aware this is a real issue. Especially up here at Machu Picchu, so maybe talk to your doctor before you go. And along those lines, what about physical well-being in general? I mean, this is a lot of walking and a lot of climbing and potentially optional adventure activities that you might do during the trip here. Do you have any suggestions of how people should get ready for this kind of trip?
Well, certainly, I mean, the most important thing by far is for people to get is to make sure that they are you know, in the right physical condition. It typically applies to older travelers when going to a place like Peru with the altitude. So we do encourage travelers to consult their personal physicians to make sure that it's not going to cause any unforeseen or unwanted health issues. So that's first and foremost. As it relates to, you know, the activity level of the trip, it is one of our more active trips that we have across the world. So we do want to, you know, we don't want to encourage people to, you know, make sure that they're prepared for that, and not only at the time of the purchase decision, but in advance of the trip, that they're, you know, that they approach the trip in reasonably good physical condition, in reasonably good shape, so that they can take advantage of everything out there and such a beautiful country as you surely saw.
Oh, absolutely. This is one of the things I think should be on every adventure traveler's bucket list. And we're going to get back to the itinerary, but I'm still kind of picking Greg's brain here so everybody can get the advantage of this, because when you're packing for a trip like this, for any adventure trip, it's pretty important because, you know, you really need to get there with what you need. And something a lot of people I don't think realize, you're thinking South America, you're thinking hot and humid, but the temperatures drop quite a bit at night in this region. So I don't know, Greg, do you all provide a kind of a packing checklist when you send the travel documents, or?
You know, we do give some suggestions. I certainly, you know, we do give, you know, temperature ranges. So definitely do not, you know, assuming just because it's in South America that it's hot, is, you're absolutely right. They have a wide range of climates within South America, and certainly the case in Peru. So I would sort of caution people to assume too much about anywhere in the world. You know, you think Australia, New Zealand, it's hot, particularly Australia, but it just depends on the time of the year that you go. So I think it's important, important to do a little bit of research and understand the specific destination in which you're traveling, and the time of year, obviously, as we know, in our day-to-day lives, makes all the difference.
Well, you've segued nicely into my next question for me here, Greg. Y'all offer departures several months out of the year, I noticed. But when do you think is the best time to go on this Enchanted Peru, this specific trip, as far as it not being so crowded and having the best weather? Because there are rainy and dry seasons in Peru, just like around the world. So do you have a recommendation of what you think is the best time?
It's like we have all these departures. It's like asking somebody to pick their favorite child. I don't know that. I don't, you know, honestly, I think, you know, I think the spring and fall are great. I don't really see much of a need to go in, in the middle of the summer. I think it could be, you know, just everything in travel is more crowded then. And we do intentionally avoid, you know, we do avoid, tend to avoid certain times of year as well. If I had to sort of vote, I would say sort of spring and fall.
Okay. All right, so let's get back to the itinerary. And I noticed one of the first things that the travelers do is participate in a shaman ceremony. And I was just wondering if you can tell the listeners a bit about this, because this is kind of a neat thing.
Well, I'd love to hear you were there more recently than I was, so I'd love to hear your experience, you know, directly, if you could share with everybody.
We didn't do that, so that was one of the things that wasn't on our itinerary that I thought was kind of neat about your itinerary there. But speaking of that, I know that you have there's a lot of highlights to a trip to Machu Picchu, and you all have them, I noticed, in your itinerary, and one of them was a trip to the Pisac market. I think you do that on day two, and that's a pretty big deal. I think that's something everybody has to do. So is that something that you can speak to everybody about, what to expect? Because it's pretty chaotic and crazy and colorful and wonderful and...
Oh, I mean, I just encourage everybody, if you're in front of a computer, to Google some pictures of it. It's colors is the name of the game. So it's incredibly vibrant. You're almost overwhelmed by the array of different colors. But you can buy some incredibly sort of handcrafted, truly sort of artisan products at very reasonable prices. You also help the local community, but it's an experience. It's one of those. It's yes, there's some shopping obviously, and that's some people love that, some people don't love that. But even if you're not there to shop, you can just sort of soak in the vibrant nature of the market and the colors that really just leave a very vivid memory in your mind.
Like you said, they have everything, and you have to come understanding in these other countries that everything is about negotiation. You don't just walk in and say how much, and then like an American store, because that's just your starting point. So some people love it and some people don't like it, but just be prepared that's how it's going to work. But I would recommend everybody just to kind of keep an eye if you have your backpack or your camera bag or something with you. These are the kind of places where you kind of need to be careful of your money, your documents, your possessions in these chaotic places like the market. But let's move on here because we haven't even gotten to the big highlight yet, which is Machu Picchu.
Yeah.
Which is known as the Lost City of the Incas, and I'll tell you, I think it's just an experience to get to Machu Picchu. And if you suffer motion sickness, you really need to come with something, because this is probably the stretch of the trip you're most likely to need it. And you know what I'm talking about, Greg, because there's a train ride, and then there's a bus ride, and the bus ride is it's how do you describe it, Greg?
it's a journey, but it's one of those journeys and one of those experiences, physically, emotionally, it really touching all the senses, that is really spectacular. And it's there's a reason it's one of those, truly one of the, I know they say this about a lot of places, but it is one of the wonders of the world. I just don't think that, there are a few places that can evoke that same sort of feeling and create that same type of experience. So I think it's a must. It's a must for everybody at some point in their life.
Well, so let's back up here and talk to people. For those of you that don't know about Machu Picchu, you've heard of it, but you're not really sure about it there. It's interesting because we're not really certain of its origins. There's a lot of different theories. One that it was a fortress, one that it was an imperial retreat. It was a ceremonial precinct. There's all these different theories, and there's also a great dispute over why it was abandoned. But we're not going to get into that because they'll tell you all that on the tour. But just one thing, like Greg said, that can't be disputed is how remarkable Machu Picchu is, and it is the most visited site in Peru, and it is one of the top attractions in South America. I think over 500,000 tourists come every year. And so recently, and I covered this in my book that I wrote on Machu Picchu here, that the government has recently implemented some restrictions to try to protect this World Heritage Site. And so it's really interesting because when I visited several years ago, you could buy a ticket at the entrance. You could explore on your own. There was no tourist caps or anything like that. There weren't even all these rules for the Inca Trail back when I went. So the government has just changed all of that. So I just want to make sure people are aware you can't buy a ticket at the entrance anymore. And when you get there, you have to hire an official guide. And they do have a cap. It's like 2,500 visitors a day in Machu Picchu and 400 a day that can go on up to Hayana Picchu. So because of all the new regulations and logistical challenges and some safety issues, I think Machu Picchu is one of the places in the world that's best done with a tour. And that's why I recommend, that you go with a reputable operator like Smart Tours, just because they take all this planning and worry and logistics out of your hands there and just kind of just take care of everything for you. And so I just think that's the best way to do this. I'm not going to ask Greg about this because, of course, he's going to say the same thing.
Well, no, I think,
and it's,
you know,
true though, right?
But I think there's a, you know, there is a reality that, you know, we offer trips all over the world, and, you know, there are certain places where the role of the tour operator, like Smart Tours, is just all the more valuable. You know, I think we add tremendous value in terms of getting people access to certain experiences and having great guides and taking care of everything for everyone and delivering prices that people couldn't get for themselves. I believe we add value and contribute a lot all over the world, sincerely. But then, you know, there's that sort of other next layer of, you know, of complexity that, or, you know, that, that Machu Picchu has and other places have as well, but, just make, just even a stronger reason for, you know, for the role of the tour operator.
And what I think, what I like about this itinerary with you all is that you take care, you know, like you get everyone to Machu Picchu and you do all the things that are better done on a tour, but there's also time on your own, which is really good because certain places, like in Cusco, you have some, you do a city tour and you get to see all the huts and get oriented, but then you get time on your own. So there's all these great things that you can do that people may not be aware of, that they can just go off on their own. They can do a night tour of the city. They can take a cooking class. They can visit Sexy Woman Ruins, which is at the edge of town. I mean, there's all kinds of things they can do here. There's lots of really charming cafes and restaurants all over Peru. And something that most people don't know, that I think is worth pointing out, is that Peru has been voted the world's leading culinary destination for the last 5 years. And so, you know, this is a place that, you know, that you're going to have a chance and very reasonable prices, lots of great restaurants. And so that's something that, you know, you have a chance to do. So I like the fact that you have a good balance of tour time and then time on your own where you can, you know, kind of do an adventure activity over in Sacred Valley if you want, or you can just, you know, go have a nice meal and relax, whatever you want to do. But moving on, before we run out of time, I want to talk about another one of your trip highlights is a visit to Lake Titicaca, which is the largest lake in South America. So can you tell listeners about this excursion, Greg? Because I know that they get a boat ride on Lake Titicaca, and they get to see the floating islands and all the things that are there, correct?
Certainly true. And I just do, you know, before getting into a little bit of detail on it, I think it's worth noting that you know, this is a tremendous highlight. It's spectacular. It's also something that not every tour group has as part of their trips. So, you know, you'll see a lot of trips to Peru that are, it's really sort of Machu Picchu and then, you know, maybe Lima and Cusco and that's it. You know, I think it's really important to note, you know, to look a little bit deeper and look about, you know, not just about Machu Picchu, which is obviously spectacular, but, you know, to try to understand what else is included in the trips. And so I think that that's just important to look a layer deeper. And I think one of the highlights that some trips have, like ours, and others don't, is Lake Titicaca. But, you know, it's the largest lake in South America, and it's really just like, it's this spectacular sort of vista and this incredible opportunity just to be out in the water. They call it the birthplace of the sun. That's in Andean culture. So I don't know if that's true, but neat to be there if it is. And you know, it's just a truly spectacular place. And for a lot of the travelers that come back, you know, it's not far from the sort of from Machu Picchu in terms of its acting as a highlight of the trip and really serving as a lifelong lasting memory.
Okay, so I'm going to have to stop here now because we're running out of time, and I do want to touch on another trip you have, which is Machu Picchu and the Galapagos Cruise Adventure. Now, I love this because this is really two adventures in one, because you're doing all the things we've been talking about during the show with Machu Picchu, plus you're doing a four-day Galapagos cruise. So this is just if you have a little more time and a little bit more money, this is a great way to go and do both things because, again, Galapagos Island is one of these unique, wonderful places that's on a lot of adventure travelers' bucket list. And so it's an archipelago, and it boasts flora and fauna and wildlife that can't be found anywhere else in the world. And so it's just an incredible experience there. So I just kind of quickly want Greg, if he would, to please share a little bit about your Galapagos itinerary. Like, tell people, because they're going to you go on to the islands, but you don't stay on the islands. That's not allowed. So they're going to stay on a boat that you've got, and then you island hop by day. So can you just kind of give people an idea of what this will be like for them real quickly?
Well, it's certainly, you know, you described it well, island hop by day. We actually do, just to be clear, we do have another trip now that does include the staying on Santa Cruz Island and then having a and then sort of going to other islands, sort of hopping around by day. There's nothing like the Galapagos. If you love nature, if you love science, if you're interested in evolution, if you've read about Darwin, or even if you haven't, or if you just appreciate natural beauty, to be able to sort of to see what Darwin saw, to see these, you know, all these species, these beautiful animals, it's just incredible. And you know, I'd say the biggest drawback or the biggest challenge that we face with the Galapagos is just the cost. It's just, there's no way around it. It's extremely expensive. You know, we do our best, as with every destination, to be for the same quality, less expensive than the competition. And we are, without question. But we've introduced staying in a hotel on Santa Cruz Island and then hopping around each day as sort of an alternative to a cruise, as an effort to bring down the price a little bit, that's true too. Some people, you know, some people love being on the water, and some people certainly do not. So this provides a nice alternative there as well.
Good. Yeah. Okay. So, this is, you have a naturalist that goes around that sort of tells everybody also everything they need to know while they're there, and also you're getting a whole experience, not just stepping off onto an island on your own or whatever, but, I mean, you're getting an experienced guide, a naturalist that's explaining everything to you and sharing what you need to know, and, you know, and you're getting, you know, great meals and all of that too, right? So.
That's right. And you'll have a naturalist whether you stay in a hotel or go on the ship. Food is incredible. But it really is just about what you're able to absorb and learn. And thank you for bringing up the naturalist, because that really does enhance the experience.
It does. And so I know it is a bit more expensive, but if people are interested in doing the Galapagos, it's really, if you think about it, it's if you look at it this way, that it's cheaper to do this together. Because, you know, you're flying in once instead of twice, you know, and they're combined. So it is a bit cheaper if you're interested in doing both of these to kind of, you know, bite the bullet, if you will, and do this together if this is something, you know, these are two places that are on your list. But, again, you can look at this on your own, spend some time, like I said, doing some research and all. But I'm sorry to say that we're out of time today. So what I want to do is for you to learn more about these adventures that we talked about on the show today, as well as a lot of other trips that Smart Tours offers. You can visit www.smarttours.com, which is SMARTOURS. SmartTours.com, and I'd like to thank Greg for taking the time to be on the show and sharing all the great information that he did with us.
Such a pleasure to be on the show, especially with a real Smart Tours traveler. So We're glad that you're one of the nearly 200,000, and we appreciate your enthusiasm for the trip. We really do, and looking forward to continuing to help you with your travels and hopefully talking to you again.
Okay. So you can find a complete archive of my travel shows, including this one on Machu Picchu, and you can download dozens of free travel reports on www.terrencetalkstravel.com. Subscribers to Terrence Talks Travel receive a free 232-page adventure travel guide. So if you're not a subscriber, sign up today at terrencetalkstravel.com. And so that's all for now, but I'm going to be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. So please stay tuned.
Panera now delivers, so you can order good, clean food right to your office, or door, or porch, or backyard, or front yard, or apartment, or dorm, or castle, or shop, or worksite, or wherever. For lunch, dinner, and everywhere in between. Click the banner to order or visit PaneraBread.com. Participating locations only. Panera. Food as it should be. Panera now delivers, so you can order good, clean food right to your office, or door, or porch, or backyard, or front yard, or apartment, or dorm, or castle, or shop, or worksite, or wherever. For lunch, dinner, and everywhere in between. Click the banner to order or visit PaneraBread.com. Participating locations only. Panera. Food as it should be.